Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
As promised, we have returned here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. It's Ray and Brad. A very special guest today. We got out of Boston, Nick Morgan. Dr. Morgan is one of America's top communications and speech coaches. He founded Public Words in 97 and works with business, political, and educational leaders. Also has a brand new book we'll tell you about here in just a few moments. And we've got Nick coming up here for a few segments, along with, very quickly, Gene Bliss, our customer experience, put together a really cool set of vignettes for us. And this one talks about W.L. Gore, you know, the Gore-Tex people. So we'll hear from Gene as well. And a little bit later on, Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence. It's Courting Online Influencers, Part 1. So we've got a two-part series of that thing going, too, as well. A lot of good stuff here. You know, this has been an interesting week, Brad. We've got General Motors in the news, of course, big time.
Yep.
And but even bigger, the passing of the torch between Jay Leno, The Tonight Show, and Conan O'Brien, The Tonight Show. And I gotta tell you something. You know, I've always favored, and I believe you have too as well, Dave Letterman. I love his casual style. Leno a little bit more contrived, yep. A little bit more of a Rodney Dangerfield style comedian. But watching Jay wrap up his 17 years on the air, seeing what he did a bunch of interviews on the Today Show and other things. Jay's a really cool guy, and what he did, what he took over from Carson and kept there, as he stated in his last show, you know, keeping it at number one, really has to give him a pat on the back and say, you know what, you did a great job with this. And I'm really kind of sad to see him go. I think he did a great closing show, especially he tied in all of the people, longevity over 17 years, the family that has come from that television show. And I was really, really pleasantly surprised to see the way it was handed over. Jay closing out his era. And Conan, what a great intro to a new show. It just worked out so well. You know, these guys are pros, but anytime you start something new in a new location or any type of a new venture, there's going to be some squeaks, so to speak, in the presentation. But there weren't any. You know, that obviously maybe some crafty editing on NBC's part and the producers of the new Tonight Show. But doggone it, you know, the old Jay Leno approach and the new Conan O'Brien approach. If I was Letterman, I would be going, you know, man, what can I be doing a little bit better than I used to do? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I agree. It was a great transition. What caught me a bit of a surprise, frankly, having seen Conan on his old show, I was surprised that there were a lot of elements that came along, such as the same band, same theme song. Of course, when Letterman transitioned to the earlier time slot, he was going to a new network, which precluded a lot of the, you know, use of licensed material from the previous network. But nonetheless, he changed up some things, and he transitioned and became a little less wacky and a little more, I don't know, marketable to a 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern time zone audience at that particular time. So, I don't know, it surprised me, Ray. I would have thought that we would have seen a lot of a bit of differences with Conan's new 11:30 time slot at the Tonight Show, and it was really pretty much the same Conan we'd seen later at night previous. So I don't know. We'll see how all that goes. I think Jimmy Fallon's done a hell of a job taking over for Conan. He's really come around, and he's come around quickly. And you're right. Jay did a classy way of exiting, and really did a great job of summing up 17 years or however many years it was that he was on The Tonight Show and reminding people about the high points of his, was it 17 years, Ray? 16?
It was 17 years, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and by the way, Conan does have a new theme song. They kept the band. But that is a new theme song for The Tonight Show that they penned, which is kind of cool.
So I thought it was the same. Maybe it's similar but different. I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't have known that except that I believe they'd mentioned that in some of the pre-show stuff. So, you know, new set, new this and that, new theme song. So
I will say this. I didn't know Conan was such a great runner and that he could do it in a suit.
That's a drip-dry suit, right? Exactly. No, it's made out of Gore-Tex. Gee, what a great lead-in to Gene Bliss here on The Advertising Show.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
You know, it's nearly impossible to buy a ski jacket without seeing the Gore-Tex tag hanging from the garment. W.L. Gore makes, among many other things, dental floss, guitar strings, and surgical products, and has been named pound for pound the most innovative company in America by Fast Company, and is revered for its ability to innovate around the globe. What lies behind this ability to innovate is what founder Bill Gore decided to focus on as he began the business, and that's how people inside the company come to make decisions among themselves. At W.L. Gore, the belief is that people will step up and deliver when they are not regulated. This radical idea for a culture in which leaders emerge has been sustained throughout W.L. Gore's existence as an organization. Through democratic decision-making and an innovative culture, they have grown to become a $2.4 billion company. It is only one of five companies who's been on Fortune's Best Companies to Work For list for 25 years since that list was initiated. Do you practice democratic decision-making?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thank you, Gene Bliss, on The Advertising Show. Good stuff, too. And the series of shows that you're going to be hearing over the next several weeks, listen to them very carefully. They're very good stuff. It's actually part of a new book that Gene has as well, so we'll tell you more about that and tell you how to get it, okay? On The Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, with Nick Morgan, our special guest out of Boston. He's author of a brand new book. It's called Trust Me, Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma. Told you a little bit about Nick's background. His methods, well known for challenging conventional thinking, have been published worldwide. He's a fellow at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, affiliated with the Center for Public Leadership, and formerly served as editor of the Harvard Management Communication Letter. That's a lot of jobs and a lot of responsibility as well. So we'll be joining Nick here out of Boston in just a moment on The Advertising Show, which is being powered, by the way, by Shipple.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com, and it's a platform called Tendency, and it is absolutely killer as far as web marketing goes. So check it out at Shipple.com. Ed and his crew do a great job for The Advertising Show. Glad you're here. Tell a friend, too, about The Advertising Show. TheAdvertisingShow.com. It's all over the place, and we're glad you're here.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
Please don't squeeze the Charmin.
Squeeze this, Mr. Whipple. On The Advertising Show, Ray Shillins, Brad Forsythe. We're about to bring on to the... Our cozy couch here is what we have in the studio, kind of. It's Nick Morgan out of Boston, and the book is called Trust Me, Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma. Nick, it is great to have you here. Thanks for being on The Advertising Show.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, honored to have you, Nick. As Ray had mentioned during the previous segment, reading your bio, you've released several other books, several bestseller. So what prompted you to write a book about trust, authenticity, and charisma?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I think Trust Me really talks about how authenticity has become the catchword of the age. That's what everybody's looking for. We're so fed up with the hype, with the failures of leaders, with the corruption in the business world and the political world, that we're all looking for authenticity. So I wanted to understand better what was that, and how do you achieve it? How do you project it? How as a leader, how do you bring it across? And then the other was, there have been so many recent developments in neurological research that explain a lot about how communications actually works, that I thought it was time to write a book about that. So I cover that in the book as well.
So who should be reading this book, Nick? Who's your target audience?
It's really business people who have to give presentations, who have to lead people in meetings, people who want to show up well in one-on-one conversations, who want to show up well in business meetings, and then people who want to be able to do that keynote speech. But it really is about all kinds of communication, one-to-one, one-to-many.
Yeah, you mentioned in your book the concept of first and second conversations. Talk a little bit about the difference between the two.
Well, I think that's really at the core of what I'm talking about. So what I say is every communication is two conversations. It's the content on the one hand and the nonverbal or the body language conversation on the other hand. And let's say you're getting ready to give a speech. You're going to spend most of your time pulling those PowerPoint slides together and worrying about what you're going to say. Most people don't give much thought to that second conversation, to the body language. And yet, all the research shows that body language controls, for the most part, how we're received and the kind of image that we project, the kind of relationship we establish with that audience. And so I wanted to bring that to the level of consciousness, to make people aware of it and to let them know how to deal with that, how to handle it, how to get better control over it, so that you can think about that second conversation just as much as you do the first.
So content versus nonverbal, is one more important than the other?
Well, we've all had this experience of sitting in a meeting and this strange person gets up to speak, and something about the way he's standing, let's say he's really hunched over, or he doesn't make eye contact, or he's really fidgety and nervous, or he's got a strange voice, any one of a number of things like that will completely put us off. We won't hear what he's saying. So, yeah, the nonverbal is a lot more important than the verbal. But in this sense, in that if you get the nonverbal communication right, then people can hear your message. That's why it's so important. But when the nonverbal is at variance, is at loggerheads with the content, then people believe the nonverbal every time. You can stand up as much as you like and say, I'm really glad to be here today, but if your body language says you're really not glad to be there, that's right. What people believe.
Sounds like an episode of The Office, basically, I think.
Exactly. That's a great example, in fact, of one kind of content. The content is there in a kind of a weird, garbled way, but the folks there have all the business speak, but their body language is saying, help. I'm completely alienated. I'm out of here. I'm clueless. Not working.
Yeah.
You know, I guess any of us that have sat in a speaking engagement and heard a speaker deliver great content, but yet do it in a poorly executed way, I think we would all, you know, agree that, my goodness, I really had to strain to figure out what that person was talking about because their nonverbal skills were poor or whatever. So it would seem to me, Nick, that anyone that's experienced this from the recipient standpoint would get that. Why do you think so many people don't understand the importance of nonverbal?
Well, I think it goes back to that old study that was done of CEOs and asked them what they feared most, and public speaking was top of the list. Death was seventh. So Jerry Seinfeld made a joke out of that. He said that means you'd rather be in the coffin than deliver the eulogy at the funeral. And people, what happens is people get really nervous before they speak, and so they avoid rehearsing, they avoid thinking about it, they put it off. And these are things that just don't come up in people's minds. So they decide, I'm going to go out and wing it. I'm going to just make the best of it. And somehow that's easier than facing up to it and actually rehearsing beforehand and worrying about your body language.
Right.
And also, I think people don't have the vocabulary. They don't know how to talk about it or how to vocalize what is, after all, unconscious behavior.
So there's a way that you recommend practicing this particular component of communication?
Yeah, there is. We're all unconscious experts at body language, at reading each other's body language. We're brilliant at it. We've evolved at this from the cave where our lives depended on it. And so what I say is it's a sort of a paradox. You have to think about it consciously, but if you think about it, if you get too programmed in a conscious way, then that's going to delay your body language, your gestures. And therefore, it's going to look fake, because what the neurological research shows us is actually you gesture first before you speak. That part of your brain fires first. And what happens is we get an intent in our heads or an emotion, and then we gesture, and only after that do we get a conscious thought about it. And so you have to keep that order intact in order to look like a natural human being, like somebody who's comfortable and authentic.
The name of the book is called Trust Me. The author is Nick Morgan out of Boston. Four steps to authenticity and charisma here at the Advertising Show with Rachel and Brad Forsyth. Hope you're enjoying the interview. There's more to come.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, and our very special guest out of Boston this weekend is author Nick Morgan. Trust Me, Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma. And it brings to mind a picture, Nick, of our presidential campaign that we had a little while back, how Mr. McCain and Mr. Obama had totally polarized presentations. You know, very comfortable speech, very comfortable body language, very uncomfortable speech, very uncomfortable body language. I wonder if that's part of the reason that it cost him the election.
Oh, I think there's no question that it is. The connection between a speaker and an audience begins before the speaker opens his mouth, because that nonverbal communication starts instantly as soon as the person walks into the room. So as soon as Barack Obama started bounding up on that stage with that confident posture and the big smile, really telegenic, that he was radiating confidence, that audience and leadership, all kinds of good emotions, and the audience was responding back with that kind of enthusiasm. And there's a real unfair element here for John McCain because, of course, as we all know, he was severely injured as a prisoner of war. It's just harder for him to move. Mm-hmm. And those injuries actually made him move more slowly, and he's an older man. And as a result, he couldn't radiate that same kind of enthusiasm and energy and finally leadership quality at an unconscious level that Barack Obama could. So it was not, in any sense, a fair matchup. And I think that hobbled him from the start in many ways.
Similar to the Kennedy and Nixon debates and such as well.
That's right. And you may well know that the people who listened to Nixon, the Nixon-Kennedy debate on the radio, voted Nixon as the winner.
Wow.
Because they didn't see the body language, the confident Kennedy body language versus the slightly nervous, sweaty Nixonian body language.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Going back to the book, Nick, and by the way, the Nixon-Kennedy debates, first televised presidential debate. Going back to your book, you say a range of appropriate emotions is an important part of charisma and is also a large part of what we think of as authenticity today. Explain what you mean by that, Nick.
Well, think about the typical business person standing up giving a speech and why those speeches are so boring. We're trained in the business world to be unemotional and not to show much excitement, much passion. There's a whole history of reasons for that, but the net effect is that people are somewhat robotic as speakers. The rare exceptions are the ones that we think of as the great charismatic leaders. What's interesting for us is emotion, because as humans, again, we're unconsciously trained to be very good at reading that and picking that up. And so that's what tells us what that other person is like, and that's how we evaluate that other person. What are they like when they get angry? What are they like when they're laughing? What are they when they're happy? What kind of range of emotions do they show us? So that's what captures our interest as humans, and that's innate. We can't fight that. And so business people who deliberately tamp down their emotions in order to appear confident, perhaps, or in control, or like an executive, or some idea they have of the way a leader should be, actually shoot themselves in the foot.
Hmm. Well, before we get into your four-step process, Nick, discuss with our audience your method for controlling body language, starting with intent.
Well, the idea is that it's a very bad way to proceed. The traditional method of coaching, which is to get very self-conscious about, say, what do you do with your hands? The problem with that is that as soon as you start to think about it consciously, then that slows it down. And remember I said that the right order is to get an intent, to get an emotion, and then a gesture, and then a conscious thought, and then a word after that. And so you can practice this at home by watching people converse. And for example, if two people are talking to each other and they're saying, talking about an airplane ride they just had, if whenever they say the word airplane, you'll notice the gesture happens, the gesture for airplane, happens a split second before they say the actual word. And so that's the way you have to work it. You have to think in terms of what's my emotional relationship, what's my intent toward this material that I'm speaking about, or this meeting that I'm going to have. And you've got to focus on that emotion so that when you go out to speak or when you go into your meeting, you're radiating that emotion consistently with the words that you're saying, rather than focusing on being nervous or all the ways in which it could go wrong or something else that's on your mind. And it's about being really focused and present there about the underlying emotion. And then what we find is as you practice doing that, then your gestures follow naturally and you look more charismatic and authentic.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Shillen's Brad Forsyth. Our special guest out of Boston is author Nick Morgan. Trust me, four steps to authenticity and charisma. We've got more coming your way here in just a moment. Glad you're with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million and a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind. What you're hoping to find.
The book is called Trust Me, Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma, and our author out of Boston this weekend is Nick Morgan. Nick, welcome back to The Advertising Show. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, let's talk a little bit about openness for a moment. You're quoted as saying a communicator who is transparent about their intent almost always gets more respect and tolerance from listeners than someone who isn't. This seems obvious to me, Nick. Transparency and intent being something that people would strive for, yet some people don't get that. Are there ever times when it's not okay to be open?
Well, sure. There, if you're a leader of a Fortune 500 company, there are going to be times when there's simply things you can't say to a group of employees, perhaps, or to an investor audience because there are legal reasons or fiduciary reasons why you can't say certain things. So that puts you in a real pickle because people are very good at sussing out whether or not you're being completely honest with them, completely transparent. Again, it's something we're unconscious experts at reading. So if you're going into a meeting like that with the intent to deceive, then you'd better be very clear about the reason for it. You better spend a lot of time thinking about how important it is for you to follow the law here or do the right thing and focus on that rather than focusing on, gee, I hope they don't catch me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you also describe, which again, Ray and I both really enjoyed your book. I encourage all of our listeners to go check it out, and Amazon.com, I guess, would be a great place to start. You describe several of the physical characteristics of openness, staying with that topic for a moment. You mention open eyes, dilated pupils, raised eyebrows, nodding, smiling, etc. And I immediately thought about how supposedly our fine folks at the airport, the TSA, are screening people through body language and so forth. Is this something that can actually be taught, and is it effective in being able to identify those that may be a threat?
Well, that's a fascinating question and deserves a long, complicated answer. But the short version is that with training, you can get a little bit better than a 50-50 chance, but not much. And the reason is that this kind of unconscious expertise that we have is very effective in reading changes in people that we know well. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, when you come home after a long day and your spouse says, "What's going on?" right away, the first words out of his or her mouth, "What happened?" Mm-hmm. Right? Because something in the way you're carrying yourself instantly clues in that other person who's known you for a long time that something has happened to you that day, something significant. That kind of thing we're very good at. What we're not good at is looking at the random twitches or facial expressions of strangers and knowing whether or not that is indicative of the fact that they have heartburn or the fact that they're trying to blow up an airplane.
Hmm. Yeah, it seems like an unknown science at this point, yeah.
I mean, there are some ways, there are things you can look for, but the problem is what you get then basically is you can be trained to recognize people who have a lot of suppressed emotion. But that could also be your mother who's late for the plane.
True.
Yeah, and I know Ray mentioned that when his wife asks him what has he been doing, he immediately goes out to his car and lifts his hood to check on that monitoring device, the GPS that his wife occasionally plants there to monitor right. his whereabouts.
Right.
But, you know, it's a great relationship after this many years, right, Ray?
It continues to be, and it's because of that. And the ankle bracelet, too, and I'm very proud of that. It's you know, she gave it to us, to me, for our 10th anniversary, so what the heck. Change the battery every year, it's just perfect. By the way, Brad, we are out of time here. I hate to say that. And all I can say to our listeners is Go get the book. What are you waiting for? Go, well, wait until the show is done here, okay? Thank you very much. Nick Morgan, author of Trust Me, Four Steps to Authenticity and Charisma. Nick, it's been a pleasure having you here on The Advertising Show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me on your show.
We've got more of The Advertising Show coming up next with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Stay with us.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 international creative awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The open ad way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of your.
You know, it's funny, Brad. We didn't get a chance to ask Nick the question, but usually the phrase trust me is like, trust me. Yeah, I'll take care of you. No problem. Trust me. And at that particular point in time, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? That's what General Motors said to the folks on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
Trust
us.
We'll get out of this. No problem. We need a little bit more money.
Car business, you know, trust me, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of that, there's a lot of press this week. Starcom, Publicis, IPG among GM's top unsecured creditors, meaning that they're owing about $166.5 million bucks. So basically what they're suggesting here, and this is from the Wall Street Journal, they're saying the bankruptcy filing earlier this week by GM sent chills down Madison Avenue as the car maker disclosed what it owed to the advertising and media agencies. Whoops. This is interesting. The filing comes at a critical time for network TV as it conducts an upfront market, which sells about 80% of the ad inventory for the coming season. The tradition took root in 62 when ABC launched all of its programs just after Labor Day. Well, we knew that. But anyway, I find it very interesting to see what's going to happen here. And there's so much news about GM as well this past week.
Well, I mean, when they talk about Chapter 11 and restructuring debt, you know, that's code for you're not going to get paid if you're on the receiving end of that. And, you know, I guess a lot of people think about the wonderful fact that GM's going to continue. And I agree. I think it's great that they continue. But I think most people don't realize, if you've ever been on the owing end of a company that files for Chapter 11, as well as much as it's in their best interest to restructure their debt, it has reverberations, especially a company as big as GM. It has reverberations throughout many industries, including the advertising industry or business, that are holding receipts on media bills that aren't going to get paid. And you got to ask yourself, are they going to go back to the media companies and ask for some help there, because they're customers of media companies and they want to stay in good stead with their agencies? So,
well, they would almost have to. They would almost have to do that.
Where does it end? You know, who takes the hit?
The very good question. They also started running a new commercial. It's on YouTube as well and Facebook. It's called The New GM, explaining the new GM to the American public. And, you know,
and our collections department.
Yeah, I guess so. This is a car company that has unfortunately not really gotten the concept of building a car that people want.
Right.
So.
Problem.
Yeah, I know. That's, yeah, shoot. So, I don't know. This whole thing's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's not how the company is operated. It's the products they put out into the marketplace is ultimately what we're talking about here. And hopefully right. they'll retrench and redesign and get some new products out there. And just like Chrysler with Iacocca was able to retrench and make it all new again, hopefully there's somebody at GM can do the same.
I would hope so. I would like to see that they would stick around. We have Shamin Abbas here on the Advertising Show. Shamin's talking about courting online influencers, okay? Part one. So we have part two to look forward to as well. Stay with us. We've got that coming up next.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Courting Online Influencers, Part 1. What are online influencers? These are blog sites, websites, and their contributors who are writing about topics that are important to you and or your clients. While it may be a bit of a chore to go through the process of identifying them through a combination of mining searches, checking Technorati, and linking from one site to another following a topic thread, you can find a group of influencers that fit your particular needs. Once you've identified your influencers, how do you court them? Remember that the majority of these influencers you identify will not be reporters or members of the mainstream media. They don't cover a beat, and they don't feel obligated to write or comment about anything that doesn't strike their fancy. Influential bloggers have reported that the most important step a marketer can take before contacting them is to read their work. Not all of it, but read recent posts, read their bio, their about page, and note the categories or tags that they're using. A few initial things. Excluding influencers from your outbound communications won't stop them from talking about you, and they say that it's better to be part of the conversation than pretending not to listen. Should all social media influencers be treated the same way? No. A blogger who only occasionally covers a topic relevant to you or has a small following is not the same as a true influencer. In part two next week, I will offer guidelines to initiating contact with influencers.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thanks to Shamin Abbas here on the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Always great features that we run out of Shamin's part of the show, and glad to have her as a part of this show. Speaking of GM and the bankruptcy thing, Starcom MediaVest Group in Chicago claims $121.5 million and is listed as the number six creditor on a long list. My goodness. So, you know, how do you do that? You know, they're not going to get that money back. At least you wouldn't think they're going to get it back.
Huh? We'll keep you posted, you know, and what we hear we'll pass along to our listeners. And, you know, Ray, speaking of shedding losses, after seven seasons, NBC's The Biggest Loser is shaping up to be a model for programs whose product lines might outlive the shows that spawned them. The series is still growing its alternative revenue streams beyond advertising, according to this article in TV Week. Losers, consumer product lines, which include CDs, weight loss plans, DVDs, workout equipment, and now a Nintendo Wii game, have garnered around $75 million in revenue, according to NBC. There's also a partnership with home shopping channel QVC, happens to also be owned by Universal, which brings winners onto the program to promote their products. So aspiring to better health, which is what the program's all about. I'm a big fan. Glad to see that that they are doing well on the, as they say, alternative revenue.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. Two good things happening there at once. I like that as well. Hey, next week, Joe Philport's going to be with us. Philport is Joe, that is, or somebody. Some people call him Philport. President and CEO of Eyes on Ratings, okay? And this is kind of cool stuff. He's the president and CEO of the Traffic and Audit Bureau for Media Management. So we'll have him next week. Hope you enjoyed this week's show. Tell a friend about the advertising show, which, by the way, is being sponsored by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by our friends at Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. So next week, Joe Philport. And a week after next, we've got Alex Van Block with us, back with us, too, as well. Always a good time there. On the Advertising Show, Ray Schoen's Brad Forsyth. Have a great week, and tell your friends about the show. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.